Okay, here we go. Good morning. It is October the 23rd, 2017. We entered the golden age cycle over the weekend. Did you feel it? You feel any more golden this morning? More gold in your slacks? More gold in your heart? More gold in your aura? Really? I can tell you. Yeah, it's true. The golden age. I think we're going to do a 144-year cycle, which is within the Kali Yuga, which is the yucky cycle, right? The big yuck cycle. It's like, so out there, people are still going to be, you know, killing each other and whatever they do during the Kali Yuga, calling each other names and fighting wars and whatever, you know, stuff. But those of us who choose to participate in the golden age can do so, because it's just one of those things, the little cycles and other cycles and little cycles and little cycles. So we started over the weekend. So, Stephen, did you feel it? The golden age start this Saturday night, midnight or something?
Can't say I did.
Can't say you did, huh? Well, it'll probably pick up today, you know? Somebody will probably send you a check for $100,000 and say, Stephen, I remember when I borrowed this from you last lifetime. And you say, oh
yes.
Say, thanks a lot.
That would be sweet.
Good morning, Stephen Heuer.
Good morning, Patrick.
How you doing, kiddo?
I'm doing pretty good today.
Yeah, you sound pretty good today.
Yeah.
Still massaging and loving your little thyroid and getting that little baby in shape.
Yes, and I've adopted a new diet that
is helping. Oh, new diet? Oh, you want to tell us about that one?
Well, it's just something I've done before but not done it thoroughly enough, which is doing fruit and herbs. I haven't done the herbs yet, but I've done the fruit and the Medex products. And in other words, I'm doing just like watermelon and grapes and durian. You ever had durian?
Yeah, years ago. Yeah, that's kind of a very sweet, or it's like a melon thing?
No, it's a really prickly husk, like literally you can injure yourself holding it, and it's a tropical fruit. It grows on a big tree, and it's a huge, huge fruit, like a...
Yeah, it's really big, but it smells really terrible?
Some people think that because it smells like sulfur. I mean, if you don't have a... It depends on the person. The smell to me doesn't bother me.
So what's the idea of doing a lot of fruit? That's a lot of... For the thyroid?
Well, it's like, once again, the gut kind of rules all other aspects of our body's health, whether it's brain function or thyroid function. Mm-hmm. So I always have this, I've had this really irregular bowel function for almost 2 years since this thyroid thing happened. And it's twisted and I don't have normal elimination. Well, doing the fruit diet, it's like gets rid of all the inflammation and everything calms down.
Huh.
So it's like now the bowels are much more normal elimination. I feel better. And it's interesting, like when I was doing the regular diet that I was on, which included cooked meats and stuff, at night I was experiencing my body like eating its muscles up. I could just feel myself shrinking. And that's stopped. So that's good there. And, you know, this is Arnold Arrett's information. I mean, he cured his Bright's disease, which is kidney disease, doing this fasting and fruit. And the guy over in Australia that had colitis, young kid, cured himself doing just fruit following the 80-10-10 Doug Graham thing, you know. So thus far, I feel really good on it, and I'm going to continue to do it. Evidently, the thing is you know, especially the older you get, I feel like based on my experience in this body that I'm genetically compromised in my ability to detoxify. So that plus my biological age all getting higher ends up being that I'm less able to detoxify all of the damaged substances from cooked foods. And so I become more compromised the more cooked food I eat. And so I'm returning back to this diet because it just feels like a necessity. And I am feeling better in only a couple of days of doing it, so I'm optimistic.
Well, being optimistic is a good thing. Now, you've got a racy, let's see, most people have a lower one. You've got one that's kind of banging up.
Mine's like the planet Mercury. It's going very fast.
Yeah, it's going.
Yeah. And it's not. It's gone down, like I said, because I've got this device called the biocharger, and I use the biocharger to, it basically can emit frequencies like a Rife device to kill pathogens in the body. So I did a test with some lady that's like an intuitive to figure out which frequencies I need for which pathogens, and it's mostly Epstein-Barr and mycoplasma based on her intuitive and this Quest 4 testing, and so I'm working on killing those pathogens, and as I've done those frequencies, my heart rate has calmed down, indicating that my thyroid is calming down.
So
there's like
an
Epstein-Barr virus in my thyroid that I'm trying to kill.
Oh, well, let us know that we love it when before you kill it. You know, just talk to us.
It's about to reincarnate.
That's right. One radio network says, hi, here, take this. Boom. Well, you're certainly trying a lot of, I know you're going to figure this one out. Yeah, I know that people who have a really hyper kind of thyroid, they feel, I know my sister, she felt terrible when she had hers years ago. Boy,
she had hyper or hypo?
Hyper, yeah.
She had hyper. What'd she do?
They nuked it, but that was about 30 years ago. You know, they didn't know that much back then. They just...
Well, that's what they still do, the allopathic
guy.
Yeah.
They nuke it, huh?
Well, they give it radioactive iodine, although some doctors are giving you less than the recommended dosage so they don't kill the whole thing. So some of it lives, and then some people remain normal after they kill part of their thyroid.
Mm-hmm. I was telling Stephen before the show, folks, by the way, if you want to join the conversation, we'll have fun this morning. We always kick around some great ideas with Stephen Huer as a naturopath, also the purveyor of synergistic nutrition, and the man behind One World Way and Synergy One and all the other terrific products he has that you can buy through our website. And we hope you do. One Radio Network is 888-663-6386. Come on in. Don't be shy. We're just kicking around some ideas. We don't give medical advice, so we just like to play doctor. 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. I've had a lot of, Stephen, low thyroid in my family. My mom had a goiter, and brothers and sisters all have kind of like a low thyroid. And my body temperatures kind of mostly run cold, you know, a little bit. So if I take my temp, it's about low 97s in the morning. And Broda Barnes say, you know, you want to be like 97.6 or something in the morning. But the Broda Barnes thing, I figured out that the reason it's so low is because he wanted you to take it under the arm, which is generally about a degree colder than the mouth.
I didn't know that. That's what I figured out.
I may be wrong on that one. If you guys have any other information, but he wants you to take it under the arm. And if you look at all the docs, you know, even, you know, all the, you know, the medical stuff, that the underarm temperature is generally about a degree lower than the mouth.
Have you tested it on yourself?
Yeah, I do. And so by mouth, I'm still, you know, I'm 97, low 97s. This morning I was 97.8. So what I've been doing is...
But if you tested yourself, what was the temperature under the arm comparatively to the under the top?
Oh, you know, I haven't done under the arm in the last week or so.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I'll do that tomorrow morning sometimes see. But so I'm doing 10 drops of the Edgar-Cayce iodine three times a day rather than I was just doing it once topically. And so far the temperature's gone up a few degrees. And maybe I can just kick it up a little bit and warm up my body by that way. We'll see. I'm just going to experiment, you know.
The other things I would suggest is that the hypothalamus is the origin of the hormonal signal. You know, it's got to signal the pituitary to release the thyroid-stimulating hormone. And so those hormonal pathways or those the origin point, I would work on, you know, taking supplementation to support the hypothalamus and the pituitary.
Right. Yeah. And I may do that. I just want to do this alone by itself just to see if it does anything, you know, just to see as an experiment, just to see if this iodine will kick it up or not. But then you say that the general thing that you can do too, you have some things that you could take for the hypothalamus that would leverage this whole idea.
Yeah, the Medics products have the hypothalamus formula, and they also have a pituitary formula. So I would take both those and take 20 drops one time per day to help, activate the adult stem cells within those tissues to convert over to functional new pituitary cells and functional new hypothalamus cells.
Well, I hope my stem cells are acting like adults because, I mean, in my whole life they've been acting like children, and they really got to stop this stuff. You know? Just cut this stuff out.
Just cut this stuff out.
Okay. So we're going to talk about a lot of different things this morning, but including the Alzheimer's. Now, what's your interest in Alzheimer's? Why are we going to do this?
it's such a common problem nowadays. It's like astronomically off the chart that when you get a certain age, so many seniors are experiencing dementia and Alzheimer's. And there's no need for it if they just get a little education, or their caregiver or loved one gets a little education and puts it into practice for that senior. And even people that are younger, sometimes, you know, they'll get an infection or something and experience Alzheimer's and don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole plethora of knowledge of how to fix it.
Yeah, it's pretty, I think it's kind of common what I hear out there with different people that they husband, usually it's the husband more quickly than the wife for some reason. I don't know why that is. Maybe you have some ideas. They go to the doc and they take some, but nothing happens, right? The drugs don't really work.
Yeah, the drugs don't work. Yeah, exactly.
What is Alzheimer's anyway? Do we know? Can you explain to us like what it is in your experience or what your knowledge of it?
Well, it's a combination of things that affect the brain. You know, as this report that I've written will indicate, it's the failure to recall information is a failure of the frontal lobes. So the frontal lobes act like the window to the rest of the brain that access memory and other information. So when the frontal lobes cease to function optimally or correctly, then a person's memory fails. And that's happening nowadays more than ever because of people that have been innocently, ignorantly consuming refined white sugar, refined carbohydrate products for decades have created that spiking of insulin chronically day in, day out, several times a day that leads to insulin insensitivity in the frontal lobes of the brain, and the brain's number one fuel of glucose is no longer able to be used, and hence the person ends up losing their memory. That's the most common or dominant one. There are several other factors.
So kind of like, it's almost diabetes of the brain.
That's exactly what it is. In fact, it's called type 3 diabetes. So those are synonymous terms. Alzheimer's and type 3 diabetes are synonyms, because that's what it is. It's the inability. And that person with type 3 diabetes many times is having type 2 previous to that, but sometimes don't have type 2 at all, type 1 or type 2, but they end up having type 3, where specifically they have insulin insensitivity of the brain.
Oh, I've never heard the term type 3, so that's actually what it's being called now.
Yeah, it's called type 3.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
So too much sugar and stuff like that, and you get the insulin resistance, and that affects the, you're saying the front lobe?
Yeah, the frontal lobes. They're like the window to the rest of the brain. So if that system becomes shut down, then you can't access the rest of your memories and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't have a problem with that, but I can't remember what I was going to ask you. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I just can't remember. Is Alzheimer's generally with the people the short-term?
It's short-term, yeah, exactly. They can have long-term memory really intact, but their short-term is not working.
Mm. And then, of course, I don't know if it's anything like the movies, but in the movies, they can't even remember their kids and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, they can't remember their wife, the kids, and I mean, they can end up, one of the stories that I've got here is the gentleman that was becoming an Alzheimer's person, he no longer recognized his wife, and he was you know, cussing and bitching at his son for, you know, where he took his wife, even though she's right there in front of him, you know?
What a shame. Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. If you'd like to be on the show, as we said, 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. So you want to go, how do we want to do, do you think all this Alzheimer's, though, that we're seeing in our culture could possibly be just a sugar thing? I mean, do people eat that much sugar? I mean, as a culture, I guess they do. I don't know.
It's just a contributing factor. It's the number one factor, and yes, they do eat that much sugar. But the other factors are you've got pesticides and herbicides. So I've spoken about this before, that, you know, glyphosate is the number one, you know, substance in today's food supply, because a lot of your grains and a lot of your legumes are sprayed prior to harvest, 3 days prior to harvest, so that it dries out evenly and makes it easier for the farmer to harvest his entire field with one swath. And then ends up having, you know, glyphosate in your lentils and glyphosate in your barley and glyphosate in your wheat, that when you're not eating organically and eating commercially, you're getting that herbicide pretty regularly in your diet, especially if you're eating restaurant food. So it's going to go into your brain and it's going to kill your brain. And that's one cause of damaging the brain. The other one is pesticides. They same thing. In fact, pesticides destroy insects. They're destroying the nervous system of the insects. So once that substance gets into your body in any significant amount that you can't detoxify, it can go to the brain and also contribute to the damage of the brain that would create dementia. There's heavy metals. I mean, you know, how many people have walked around for decades with silver amalgam fillings, mercury fillings in their teeth, off-gassing all this vapor 24/7 that they're inhaling chronically, that their body's not going to be able to neutralize completely, that's going to circulate in their blood and get to the brain, damage brain cells until they get to the point where they've damaged enough to cause dementia. So I'm real big on, you know, not only removing those mercury fillings, but on doing a protocol to detoxify the mercury from the entire body, and I've got a whole report on it on our site. It's a free report, but this particular report gives you the combination of supplements that we've had, you know, clinical results where an 89-year-old with mercury poisoning, heavy, you know, mercury, lead, and arsenic, actually, and also lithium. She was taking the drug lithium, and it was, like, off the charts, super high, because couldn't detoxify that, you know, lithium sulfate, really. So for five hair tests over 2 years, she was showing high levels of mercury, lead, and arsenic, and also this lithium was off the chart. So the son gets his 89-year-old mom on this on One World Way and a combination. Actually, she just took One World Way, but then ended up in 2 months redid her hair test, and the mercury, lead, and arsenic had come down to almost non-detectable, and the lithium had come down by 50%. So, and then I've had other case histories kind of indicating the same thing. So we have a really good report on what products to take to detox mercury.
And that's, so if you're on One Radio Network, you can click on the Way ad, and then where do you go from there when they get on the website?
There's two banner bars. There's a green banner bar, and then there's a fuchsia banner bar. It's the fuchsia banner bar to the far right. There's a tab you click on. It says reports.
I'm going to go on there while you're saying that. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it's a fuchsia bar is up on top. The green bar is on the bottom. There's a bunch of tabs in each bar, and the fuchsia bar on the far right, it's says reports, and you can click on it.
We love fuchsia.
I love fuchsia.
We love fuchsia. I'm going on there right now. I wasn't on the website. Oh, I see. Okay, yeah, this will be easy to find, yeah. Just reports, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and so the other things that are contributing to this Alzheimer's is poor circulation to the brain, which has been studied and proven. I mean, they totally see there's like a, I think it's a 20% reduced level of circulation to the brain of an Alzheimer's person compared to a person without Alzheimer's.
Okay, yeah, let's talk a little bit about circulation. I mean, that's a big thing all around. I know that even folks with having problems with different, in their eyes, right, with, I don't know, what are some of the common things?
Macular degeneration.
People say, those are circulation issues as well, right?
They are, and they're, I mean, macula is where the macula is not getting certain pigments, so it no longer works, and so you can take certain supplements that have carotene in them, zeaxanthine, something, there's one from Marigold that's supposedly really good to help with macula, to give you a certain carotenoid that helps restore the macula's function, so that's one.
I was just kind of using the eyes as an example, but what are some of your faves thing, and stick with the circulation, Stephen Huer, just for circulation of foods and different herbs and stuff for circulation?
So niacin will give you temporary intermittent improved circulation throughout the body, like 100 milligrams, 50 to 100 milligrams. You got to test it because you want to find out that the lower dosage if you flush really hard or not. But that's going to create temporary improved circulation. The oils, like the Rosita cod liver oil, the flax oil, the Andreas flax oil, these are all really good to keep the blood flowing and prevent clotting and stuff. The K2 is really important to activate that pathway I've talked about many times in our previous interviews, where it makes your body produce this protein called matrix GLA protein, and then that ends up causing you to decalcify, remove calcium out of the arteries, and restore flexibility to the arteries, so that the arteries are clear again and circulation happens throughout all the body, including the fine blood vessels.
That's the K2 is the instrument for that.
Yep, and then there's a mechanical device that I've worked with personally for many years. It's super amazing. It's developed in Germany. It's called the Beamer. Stands for Bioelectric Magnetic Energy Regulator. And this pad device was invented by Germans to restore the microcirculation of the body. 74% of the circulation of our body is the capillary or microcirculation system, and that's where all the exchange and everything takes place. The other 26% of your circulation, major blood vessels and veins, don't do any exchange. They're just, you know, highways to convey blood here and there. So this whole Beamer device puts a frequency that mimics what your body would produce. In other words, your body in a young state will produce a certain frequency to cause you to have this microcirculation go through your system like 10 times every minute. In other words, the whole circulation completes itself 10 times every single minute. But in a sick person or a weak person, a compromised person, that goes down to as low as only one circulation, completed one circulation every 10 minutes or not at all. And this Beamer feeds your body frequencies so that in 8 minutes, you have this restored microcirculation. The blood is just pumping hard and streaming throughout all parts of the body, including the brain. And that would be the most significant game changer for somebody with poor circulation with Alzheimer's.
Wow, that's pretty. I've heard of this Beamer thing. I know some people that have it. You just kind of lie on it. You don't sleep on it or anything like that.
They have a program where you could, you know, run it so that you sleep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They you put it under your, it's a special thing, but yeah, you can sleep on it.
And do you sell those too?
Yeah, I'm a distributor, yeah. I mean, I've got that, again, if you go through your site, if everybody goes through your site to my site, there's a banner ad on the right-hand side, lower right-hand side of the website that'll show you a Beamer, like, picture, and then you can click on it and it'll take you to the website.
I wonder if that would help too with the little micro-circulation that goes when you have some arteries clogged up, Steve. When you heard the Dr. Thomas Cowan, and he says the research clearly shows that when the big arteries begin to get clogged up with whatever, you know, the atherosclerosis, that the body in its infinite wisdom starts to make ancillary kind of a feeder veins and, to go around so they get blood.
To the heart, right?
Yeah, to the heart. And as long as you don't go in there and crack it with surgery, you're good. It's pretty.
Oh, yeah. Surgery is never the route.
Pretty interesting. I mean, when he told me that when they crack the chest, that it breaks all of these things that the body's created for years, it was like a wake-up call, man. It was like, whoa, boy.
Well, but the thing is that rather than just, you know, say the body's going to make new arteries to carry blood to the heart, it would be better to reverse the plaque and not understand why it's causing it.
Sure. Oh, no doubt about it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's definitely...
Nitric oxide. I mean, if you just increase nitric oxide on a regular basis, that's been proven to totally reverse all your arterial plaque. Just nitric oxide. And, I mean, they've done studies on rats or rabbits to prove that. And we have a product called Nitric Oxide Endurance that's like the one that lasts the longest. If you take just arginine, you're going to get like 2 seconds worth of nitric oxide production. If you take arginine with certain flavonoids or certain anthocyanidins, you're going to end up having a longer time period, maybe an hour or two. And this particular one lasts for like an hour and a half, I think, the Nitric Oxide Endurance, which is pretty long.
What's it called? Nitric?
Nitric Oxide Endurance.
And what is it? What's it made?
It's a peptide derived from whey that they did all these studies on and found that it was the most significant supplement to increase nitric oxide for the longest time.
But if you just increase nitric oxide like that, that's really not, it's not doing anything in the long term, is it, Stephen?
Oh, yeah, totally long term.
Is it?
But the thing is that it's not, you still have to address what are you doing that's causing.
Sure. Why your body doesn't have enough nitric oxide.
Well, not only that, well, it's what...
You're clogging up anyway.
Plaque.
Sure, of course. Yeah, then you got to get all the way back there.
Yeah, that's the biggest.
Sure. You know, I'm getting some dumb click on the line. Have you heard that?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I'm gonna do a commercial anyway, and I'm gonna call you back on another line, because maybe it's this line.
Oh, that's an incoming call. Somebody's just an incoming call. It'll go away in a second.
That one I just heard. No, it's happening about every 60 seconds.
Okay.
It's just going.
Can you call me back?
Let me try to call you back and see if it happens on again, then it's going to be on your line and there's nothing we can do about it. It's not showstopper, but hold on.
My friend was down in Los Angeles recently, and he brought up some pure sulfur. We just ordered some from you. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I was just looking at it, and I was like, wow, you know, this stuff really is totally different. So I put a tablespoon in my mouth and just chugged it with water, and wow.
Yeah, thanks. A lot of people get that wow thing. I felt something first time I took it about 3 years ago, and we've been promoting this pure organic sulfur ever since. 2-pound orders, 3 different prices, United States, Canada, worldwide, and you can click an order right now on the front page right here, OneRadioNetwork.com. We're talking with health motivator Daniel Vitalis about testosterone and pine pollen. Some of the guys have asked if taking pine pollen would dampen their own testosterone production.
Well, that's something that can happen with the steroidal forms of isolated bioidentical testosterone, and that's one of the issues bodybuilders who are taking steroids often have. What I want to point out about pine pollen is that it's a whole food, and the amount of testosterone that's present is very rarefied. So these aren't really issues that we experience when we take the whole food form of pine pollen or a tincture of pine pollen, but it is an issue if people are taking synthetic testosterone.
Pine pollen. It's a whole food. It's real. And it works for you girls, too. Click an order on any of the Sirthrival links. Exquisitely manufactured. Only from Daniel Vitalis and Sirthrival on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com.
Know the source.
The source.
OneRadioNetwork.com. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com.
So then Meridian Grace and Dr. Richard Massey on Thursday, Andrew Goss on Wednesday. We're going to talk with the lady next week, Doc, about more about thyroid. There's also a cool guy in Europe. Next week. His name is Chris Milbank, and we're going to speak to him. He's got a pretty amazing story all about using turpentine and some of the stuff that he came up with. So that's going to be next week. So we got a lot of stuff going on. I wonder where Stephen is. So it's really interesting that you can do a nitric oxide product kind of ongoing, and it cleans out the arteries.
Yep. Raising nitric oxide has the ability to remove existing plaque. But the thing is that some of that plaque is like the cholesterol foam cell portion. The calcium portion still stays bound to the arterial wall unless you're doing K2 plus, because that's what removes the calcium part of the plaque.
So that's what they do, Stephen, when you do a CT scan. They actually measure the calcium.
Computerized tomography, I think that's what they can see.
I did that one time years ago. Can't believe I let them nuke my chest like that, but I don't know why. I was all going through this whole thing many years ago, just not sure about my little heart because I had this, what ended up, I figured out it was a, what is it when you have a session where you just feel kind of so weird, you think you're going to die? What do they call that?
I don't know.
Anxiety attack, right? I got some, I never had one, right? I woke up in the middle of the night, I felt like I was going to die. This is four or five years ago. It was crazy. I went to the emergency room. I thought I was going to have an heart attack. Oh, yeah. So ever since then, and they said, no, you're fine, go home. So I was really looking at the heart and thinking about it, and I just wasn't sure. You know, you get that doubt in your mind. And so I said, well, I'm going to go do one of these CT scans. And that's what they measured. Well, it was like so low they couldn't even see it. They said, get out of here. I had a 7 score. Like 0-7, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's like non-existent, you know.
Okay.
Just nothing there. So what happens is the cholesterol does it, and then then you also have the whole calcium thing as well.
Exactly. Right?
But you say if you have calcium, you need K2, is that right?
Yep. If you take K2 Plus, there's a product that has both vitamins A, D, and K2 in the form of minoquinone 7. And that's important because some companies have produced minoquinone 4. So minoquinone 4 is produced from the metabolism of animals eating something that has vitamin K1 in it that converts it to K2. So say it's found in the fat of like butter from grass-fed cows or cod liver oil. So these have small amounts of K2 in the form of minoquinone 4. This is a much weaker version of K2, and it doesn't last as long in the body. So minoquinone 7 is made from the fermentation of soy with a microorganism called natto, and so then they produce this through bacterial fermentation, this vitamin K2, in the form of what's called minoquinone 7. This is a product that will have a much stronger effect and last much longer in the body and in terms of its biochemical effects. And so it turns on a pathway of producing that matrix GLA protein that can go into the arteries and remove the calcium, or go into the joints and remove the calcium, osteoarthritis, or go to the kidneys or anywhere where there's calcium deposited causing pathology, can reverse it. So that's why, you know, when people they'll say, well, don't take calcium supplements because it's going to create,
right,
you know, problems in the body, the hardening of the arteries, or it's going to create kidney stones or whatever. Well, that's because people aren't taking K2. And that's because in the old days, people got K2 in their diet because everything was grass-fed. They got it from their milk. They got it from their meat. They got it probably from their eggs, and they took cod liver oil back then. And so it was naturally being mitigated, even though they had plenty of calcium coming into their bodies.
So grass-fed dairy is where we get. So we must get K2 then in our whey, when we're away.
No, there's not enough fat in the whey.
Oh, I see. It's the fat.
The fat-soluble. So those three vitamins, there's three fat-soluble vitamins, A, D, and K2, in the product K2 Plus. They all work together. Mm-hmm. The vitamin A dissolves old bone. The vitamin A supports immunity. The vitamin A supports vision. But it dissolves old bone, and that old bone is released into the bloodstream as what's called uncarboxylated osteocalcin. Osteocalcin is the name for bone protein. The uncarboxylated osteocalcin circulates through the blood, creates insulin sensitivity throughout the body. That thing I talked about where K2 helps the brain of an Alzheimer's patient regain insulin sensitivity, it's because of the uncarboxylated osteocalcin being released from the action of vitamin A. And so vitamin D is there to help you absorb the calcium through the GI tract, and then the use of the calcium to go into the bone or the teeth or the jawbone is the role of the matrix GLA protein that K2 makes. So all three of those work together. And in nature, they do occur together, like in the butter or the cod liver oil. So when you see people selling just vitamin D or just vitamin A and just vitamin K2 separately, you're missing the boat. You need all three. There's a much more powerful effect when you do it together. And we've said this before, but men can experience a huge increase in testosterone because the uncarboxylated calcium activates the testes to produce a ton of testosterone.
Okay, now you got everybody's attention, all the guys. Okay, so so the K2, go over that again, the K2 component in testosterone?
That the K2, basically when you release the bone calcium called uncarboxylated osteocalcin into the bloodstream from the bone, it's the process of dissolving old bone while you make new bone from K2, that uncarboxylated osteocalcin circulates, gets to a man's testes, and activates the testes to produce testosterone.
And what's the main product for that?
It's called K2 Plus.
K2 Plus.
Yep, the strongest, best product. I've tried a few others over the last few months, and this one's the best.
And we don't normally, so you say the only place we normally get the K2 would be grass-fed dairy, full fat, and then some yucky stuff called Nano that tastes like snot.
Nattokinase, yeah, and or the animal products. And the animal products have the K-miniquinone 4, which is a weaker version. It's not as strong as the nattokinase version that you can get if you're going to eat, yeah, the natto, which tastes terrible to most people in the West. They don't want it, so take the supplement, and you get the doses you need. And this is something I believe people should take on a daily basis because the bone is always needing to remodel itself. It's always needing to dissolve old bone and make new bone, and this will help maintain the bone density of the jawbone, which prevents gum recession, which prevents tooth loss. And that's what people don't know, is when you start to have gum recession and you start to have loose teeth, it's because you have osteoporosis of the jawbone. And if you take something like K2 Plus, you're going to help ensure that you prevent that. You're going to make good bone in the jawbone all the time, and that keeps your gums strong and the ligaments and tendons of the teeth strong.
K2 Plus. Oh, that's a good. Isn't there a cheese? Let's see.
Yes, Gouda. A lot of cheeses. Yeah, they have, but that's the miniquinone 4 again.
I see.
That's the weaker version. But yeah, you can get it from Gouda.
Isn't there another one? Maybe it is Gouda is the only one that has that K2 stuff, huh? Maybe.
I think any of them do if they're they're coming from, if the cheese looks really yellow naturally, because the yellowness indicates vitamin A content, and that indicates
right.
The cow is eating a lot of grass.
Right.
Yeah, and it's, they converted the K1 in the grass to K2.
It's funny that I have a supplier, Stephen, and got folks of raw milk and goats and cows, and he has some that he calls yellow milk that the people are totally grass-fed, and he calls it yellow milk, and you can tell the difference, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell the difference. I mean, it's totally yellower than the other stuff, and even though the other ones are grass-fed, they're not totally on grass.
Exactly.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. He calls it yellow milk.
See, that's the difference between milk of yesteryear, you know, in Europe and stuff, all 100% grass-fed, where people drank, you know, milk and whey, and there's just absolutely total health benefits, no negatives. And now you have all these people, portion of the diet is grain. Sometimes, a lot of times, those grains have been sprayed with glyphosate, depending upon the source. And, you know, some of their diet is grass, but you want 100% grass, and then you get 100% primo dairy milk.
Yeah, you really do. And we can get some cream like that and some butter, and it's pretty fun. Boy, you can really, Yeah, you can really taste it. 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. So way back when, like in the 50s, 60s, 70s, do you think it was more grass fed? Do you think? Maybe not.
I think for sure in the 30s and 40s, but after 45, grain production came into being and it substituted for grass.
Yeah, they start feeding them stuff like that, and they not good. So this K2 or the circulation, that would be a key with the Alzheimer's, what we're talking about too, right?
Yeah, big time, because it's that whole inability of the frontal lobe of the brain to both absorb sugar and create energy for the brain could be ameliorated by this simple vitamin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We've heard all over the years that coconut oil has some real benefits for Alzheimer's. What do you know about that? Does it?
Yes. That particular subject was discovered by Dr. Nancy Newport.
Years ago we had her on the show. She helped her husband with that. I'll be darned. Yeah.
Yep. Her husband, at 51 years of age, succumbed to Alzheimer's and became progressively worse and worse and worse. And she went to, you know, clinics that were doing studies, and he had to pass as a moderate Alzheimer's case, not a severe Alzheimer's case, and so he's declined from one of the studies, and then some time passes, and she finally finds another study where he's admitted, and, basically no results, and so she's doing her own research, and in her own research, she says she found a study where there's a new protocol that's going to be done to try and treat Alzheimer's, but they didn't specify what was in the study or when the protocol. So she did more digging and finally found out that it was MCT oil, medium chain triglycerides. So she understood this to be extremely valuable already, because she knew as a doctor, this is what she gave to children born prematurely. This was medium chain triglycerides was put into the formula because children would gain weight better when that was in their formula. So she was already aware of some of the benefits of medium chain triglycerides. It made sense to her. So she went out and got simple coconut oil and started to feed this to her husband. And the same day, his symptoms were so improved that it was like overcoming Alzheimer's. And so in, you know, time, they figured out that it lasts a certain length of time. So medium chain triglycerides, coconut oil is 60% medium chain triglycerides. So the body can break down these medium chain triglycerides into ketones, and the ketones become an alternate fuel for the brain. They can break down into a couple of different acids that go into the Krebs cycle and fuel the production of acetyl-CoA enzyme A, which is part of the Krebs cycle to make energy. So ketones become an alternate fuel for the brain for a person with Alzheimer's. And what's interesting is that people with Alzheimer's end up having a progressive deterioration of their brain's ability to use glucose, but their ability to use ketones never deteriorates. It stays, functional no matter, what their age is. So, and the thing is it requires no enzymes to use these fats. I mean, this is kind of amazing. You know, with carbohydrates, if they're starches, you have to break them down with enzymes and release the glucose before you can use it. Well, these fats from coconut oil don't require that. They just, melt into the body and are immediately available to be converted into ketones and then converted into fuel. So they found out that with coconut oil, if you take it now, it takes 3 hours before your body will start to have use of the ketones. And
3 hours.
Your symptoms. Huh. Yeah. And then that will last 6 hours in the body. And then if you take medium chain triglycerides, which is an extract or a distillation of the coconut oil, that will get into your system in 90 minutes, but only lasts 3 hours. So they've learned to combine these two
together.
Fats for people with Alzheimer's to, in many cases, reverse their symptoms completely.
So I guess it's part and parcel why some people do really well on what's called a ketogenic diet. They feel better.
Yeah.
They feel better, and they have more.
People burn out their ability to use glucose really well, so they're going to function on ketones. Yeah.
So the MCT oil, which people can get, and I think we have one in our store, a nice one from Now Foods. You probably have one on your site.
We have one.
So it's different, though. It's a similar, but works in different ways and different time frames of how long it lasts.
Then the
coconut oil and the MCT oil is one.
Coconut oil and MCT oil is different. So that's where if you need immediate, quick results, you want the MCT oil. And then if you want to have a longer term, not need to refuel your body with anything, you need to take the coconut oil. You combine them and you get the benefit of both.
If you have a question for Stephen, comment patrick@oneradionetwork.com, or you can use your telephone, 888-663-6386. What role does sleep have with all of this?
So sleep is really important because there's like three phases to sleep. So the beginning phase, like from 10:30 to, say, midnight, is the phase where you're supposed to have your deepest state of sleep. This means that you're going to produce the growth hormone that you need and undergo repair in the body. And the second phase of sleep is like you come up a little bit in your brainwaves. Instead of being the theta delta, you're in the alpha beta. And then you go through another phase. And you go for like three phases where you end up with the last phase being the REM sleep state, which is the rapid eye movement. And that's the state where short-term memory gets stored back into long-term memory. And it's common for people with insomnia problems to not get sleep in the morning time. They might get it in the beginning, but not in the morning time. So they end up not being able to store their memories, and therefore they have memory problems. But that doesn't mean they're actually creating the disease of Alzheimer's. It's just one factor where you need to be aware that you might not have, just because you're not getting enough sleep and you have memory problems, you don't have Alzheimer's.
This rapid eye movement, they call it REM sleep, right?
Yeah.
We need so much of that night. They say, the bigger boys say, to not fall down and go boom.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know what window, but basically it's like five windows or five different stages of sleep that end up translating into 7.5 hours. So there's supposed to be five different cycles of sleep in one night that enable you to have 7.5 hours of sleep, and then that is true restorative sleep. If you have less than 7.5 hours, you're not getting your full, restorative sleep. The repair part, again, is in the beginning when you produce growth hormones. That enables you to repair your whole body. And then the rest of the phases of sleep are memory and restoration of the memory.
Mm-hmm. That's why we take Synergy One, take a few shots before bed, right, with that?
Yes.
Because you
got
to help those hormones, man.
Yes. Increasing IGF-1 levels has been proven to induce a slow brainwave state, which enables you to sleep. So, yes, Synergy One is a very common, easy way for people with mild insomnia to overcome that and have deep sleep again. Another thing that these people that I've learned from recently on this Alzheimer's that teach how to sleep is to use light therapy. So
yeah.
They found that 450 nanometer light, which is the blue light, you know, a lot of people say don't use blue light because it's going to prevent sleep, but actually it tells the pineal gland to not release the melatonin, so it lets it store it. So rather than little bits of melatonin coming out in the evening as darkness happens, it's telling it to stay there so that, it, you know, say 10:30, so say you treat yourself with the light therapy from 7:30 to 9:30, then at 10:30, it's got all this melatonin that can release a large amount of it and enable you to get to sleep and stay asleep.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, that's opposite what a lot of people are saying, right?
I know. It's totally opposite, but this is exactly what this one doctor is teaching and doing and getting results with.
So in other words, wait a minute. So, okay, folks are saying the blue light from a computer or a TV screen, if you whether you know, TV or films, right, inhibits the melatonin to start working when the nightfall. And then that's why people are wearing glasses and things like that. You know, these orange glasses, right? Or turn your computer. But you say that there's a fellow doing research saying, well, no, it doesn't work like that. It actually works the other way, where the melatonin doesn't get released till you're ready to go to bed because you're...
Whether or not the computer screen is exactly a 450 nanometer of blue light, I don't know, but that's specifically the wavelength that he's referring to, where there's, you know, a box you can buy to treat yourself with this light. And for people that want to get all the details and break down on this, there's a really good docuseries that I watched recently that I'm deriving a lot of this information from called Awakening from Alzheimer's, and, you know, it's a lot of great information, and you can, you know, learn the doctors that prescribe these things and their websites. But, he says that by doing it from 7:30, by exposing your eyes to this blue light from 7:30 to 9:30, you're telling your pineal gland to store and not release the melatonin so that at 10:30, when you finally go to bed, the release is large enough to get you to sleep.
Yeah, but maybe he's right, but I mean, that doesn't make sense. Naturally, the melatonin would start to release when it starts to get dark, before we had TVs and lights and stuff, right? Wouldn't that be the normal way to do it?
But we have all kinds of lights interrupting sleep now. So if
right.
you're releasing melatonin slightly in your evening hours and you're relaxing and it's releasing it, but you have problems with the production of melatonin so that when you come time to bed, you've already released so much in the evening hours that you're not releasing enough at bedtime to get to sleep, then there stands the reason that there's makes sense that to prevent the melatonin releasing throughout the evening hours would enable it to release in larger amounts at bedtime to help you get to sleep.
Okay.
I mean, he's getting clinically positive results, so it's not like it's just theory.
yeah, really. So I wonder, Stephen, if a 450 nanometer light, I wonder how that compares to what comes out of a big screen TV or a computer. That'd be interesting to know. Did he talk about that, or do we know?
He did not talk about that.
So he's actually using 450 nanometer light, but it's 7:30 to 9, just shining on people?
Putting it, I guess, near you so that, you know, you're getting exposure, yeah.
I'll be darned. That's pretty curious, isn't it? Well, yeah, no telling how many nanometers you get out of a computer, but I guess you could probably find that if you looked hard enough.
Right.
Yeah. Stephen Huer, Patrick Timpone, this is OneRadioNetwork.com. If you have a question, comment for Stephen, Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com, 888-663-6387.
Brian Clements, who heads up the Hippocrates Institute in Florida, talked about saunas here.
Elkie writes in for Brian Clements. Would Brian give us some tips on what supplements we would need to take if we do saunas several times a week to replenish lost minerals from sweating?
Well, Dr. Rao, who you had on, is a colleague and a friend. We do often conferences together in Europe. And I agree. We have saunas here. I take a sauna, so you know this, no matter where I travel in the world, 365 days a year. I think it's mandatory.
Really?
87%, listen closely, okay. 87% more heavy metals and chemicals come out in an infrared.
Well, no wonder we feel better when we take these saunas. We have the Relax Far Infrared Sauna we've talked about on sale through August.
Yeah, it's actually, that was from over the summer. But I wanted to run that because it's a pretty cool guy. That's Brian Clement, Hippocrates. And we have about three left, I think. We're selling, we're a total of 10 for the month of October, so we have three to go. If you'd like to get one of these little beauties, it is $9.95 delivered. $9.95 delivered, continental U.S. If you live in Canada or around the world, just email me and I'll work out the shipping with you. And the shipping is not as much as you would think, too. We shipped one to Europe a couple weeks ago. It was $200 complete, $200 complete. In other words, so it was $11.95, which is the same as our retail price, $11.95 delivered with the $220 plug, which you get over there in Europe and down in Australia. So no matter where you live, if you're outside continental U.S., just email me, Patrick, at oneradionetwork.com, and we'll get her done. We have about three to go. Then we're going back up to $11.95 retail. And we're going to talk more about the sauna tomorrow after Dr. Daniels with Phil Wilson. Previously with Andrew Gost, I asked him why would someone want to buy coins from his company?
So if you don't know coins, you better know your coin dealer. And, you know, you shouldn't buy coins from someone who isn't well-known registered dealer. So if they're an NGC dealer, they're registered with NGC. If they're a PCGS dealer, they're registered with PCGS. Ask questions. Don't just, oh, yeah, here's 10 grand or 50 grand or 150 grand. I just want to buy coins, you know, let me know what I'm getting. And no, that's not how an intelligent investor does it. And we do not let you do that. So if you're not willing to learn about the coins that you're buying, maybe you should find another coin firm. Don't call this one, because we're going to insist that you know why and how a coin is rare. And once you know that, then I think you can take that knowledge into the marketplace and make intelligent investment decisions.
Aha, what a concept, intelligent investment decisions. I've known Andrew for 25 years. He's the real deal. His company, STL, 800-468-2646. Give him a call if you're interested. 800-468-2646. Stephen Heuer, talk to us, to new people that have never heard of One World Way. We get new listeners all the time, and you've been selling this product for a long time. What are some of the really chief, key bullet points of why this is a great product, why you like it so much?
The sulfur amino acid called cysteine is not in generous enough supply from other protein sources, and they're denatured in other protein sources. The cysteine molecule is an amino acid it's called the rate limiting amino acid, because the cell's ability to make glutathione is dependent upon it. Inside the cell, you have two other amino acids that the cysteine has to combine with. They're called glutamic acid and glycine. They're in abundant supply. They're always there, no problem with their supply. So when the cell finally gets this particular sulfur amino acid, and in the presence of a selenium-based enzyme, it will make the tripeptide called glutathione. From Alzheimer's, the subject we're talking about today, to diabetes, to cardiovascular disease, to any disease you can mention, pretty much, it's always got, as a component, a glutathione deficiency.
Glutathione, really? Huh?
So going way back to, Europe and the the whey spas that they had. Mm-hmm. People were getting well of all kinds of conditions, just drinking fresh liquid whey every morning up until 11 a.m. because then the whey would begin to sour and turn into a toxic substance. But in the morning, it had L-positive lactic acid, and it was consumable, and it was very positive, and people got rid of all kinds of problems and reversed aging and all kinds of stuff. So today, we don't have a non-denatured whey protein on the market except for One World Whey. That means the amino acids have not been bent and twisted from the processing of the whey. Instead, they remain intact so that they get the what's called cysteine. So cysteine is two molecules of cysteine locked together. It's a unique form of getting cysteine into the body. It's able to bypass or go through the intestines and into the bloodstream, into the cells, and then break down into two molecules of cysteine. So inherently in whey, there's this health-building property because of the ability to get cysteine in this form through the cysteine peptide that makes for these results. And then you have a frequency science in here that, you know, as you know better than most, Patrick, everything's information, everything's frequency. And if you could change the frequency, you could change the function. And so there's a frequency science that enhances the function of the whey so that it signals the cells to produce more protein and more energy. So the net result of these two things, the naturally non-denatured, high-quality grass-fed whey from Amish pastured cows to the frequency science, you end up having a phenomenal result in the majority of people's bodies to increase glutathione, which detoxes, reduces inflammation. And that's why we get the case histories and testimonies that we've heard on the radio for so many years that you've never heard from any other whey protein.
Wonderful. Good job. The idea, we can't call it raw, though, right? It's not really raw legally.
Right? Legally, I guess you can't say it's raw because it's dry.
It would have to be liquid to be raw. Right. But it's the closest thing you can get, though, isn't it?
It's the closest thing you can get, yeah.
Yeah, to get it into a container. So you don't have to have... Don't have to have it refrigerated. Years ago, I mean, long before technology like this, you say that in Germany, places like this, they would just make whey and give it to people.
Yeah. The story was that in 1749, there was a guy in Zurich, Switzerland, and his doctors told him he was, get prepared, you're going to die. He was pretty sick.
Right.
And so he heard from somebody else to please go to this village in Gaius, where there was a dairy farm, and to drink the whey. And so he did. He traveled there, and he drank the whey every morning. And in a short period of time, he made a full recovery, and everyone was blown away. So everybody started flocking to this small dairy farm in Gaius, Switzerland, and they set up a spa there so that people would come and stay for weeks at a time. And the aristocrats would come, and the sick people would come, and the aristocrats would, you know, become euthanized, and the sick people would become well. And so then they set up spas throughout Germany, Switzerland, and Austria, and they had a total of 160 of these spas throughout the 1800s. So that's, you know, now this whole, now with the problem with the germ theory of disease still being believed by all of our government agencies and pathogens of the problem and the terrain is nothing, then you end up having this pasteurization and or the poor quality of how a cow is raised with its diet. And milk can't deliver these results because of that. And that's why this is such an exceptional product.
I suspect that farmers who had their own cows and goats and stuff, they've probably been made whey since the beginning of time. They figured it out. And I think all you had to do, and I remember I've made it before, if you had a raw product, you can just leave it out on the counter, and it gets clabbered up there, right? It gets clabbered up, and then you put it in some kind of a cheesecloth thing, right? Separate the cheese, and then the whey drips out.
And yep, you can do it that way, or you can pour it through just a sieve. You know, if you want to keep the curds and eat the cheese, like cottage cheese or farmer's cheese, you can do that. But yeah, that's the way they did it.
That's why they did. But as soon as you pasteurize it, homogenize it, then it doesn't work.
Right, you pasteurize it is the key. It's destroying it. Yeah.
Wow. So you got to have those enzymes in there. You got to have the zymes in there, huh? You got to have the
It's not the enzymes, it's the structure of the proteins and amino acids.
The structure.
So, you know, if you just, a square wouldn't be a square unless it was an exact shape. A circle wouldn't be a circle unless it was an exact shape. So a protein can't function like, say, lactoferrin. Lactoferrin is a really good substance to bind iron and kill bacteria and help with infections and even cancer. And it's in there the way naturally, but if you cook it, you bend it and you misshapen it, now it won't function. Mm-hmm. Or any of the immunoglobulins, they won't work if they're misshapen. And then when you break these proteins down into amino acids, the 20 different amino acids in the nature that make up all proteins, they too have to retain this geometric shape that nature gave them, that if they don't, they won't work in the body. And that's the heating process. That's why people with sickness so often have to retreat to a vegetarian or a raw vegetarian or a fruitarian diet, because the cooked proteins are so dramatically contributing to their disease because they can't detoxify, like the 75% of the amino acids in a cooked protein you can't use, and you have to spend all this energy with your liver and your kidneys and your exhalation to excrete them. And when you're sick and compromised, you can't do that, so protein makes you sick.
Ah, so the pasteurization, which is the heating, that's different from homogenization. Does that mess things up as well, homogenization, when you do milk?
Yeah, homogenization would be the point where you're going to just produce whole milk, sell it as whole milk, and you're just going to make sure that all the fat molecules that are in the milk that are much larger by nature, that would naturally float to the top of the milk as cream, they are broken down. They send it through a sieve, very, very fine particle sieve at very high speeds, which then ruptures the fat cell. It breaks open the fat cell, makes it smaller, and an enzyme called xanthine oxidase that normally would be coated by the fat gets released, and then the xanthine oxidase goes into the body. And when you look at the chemistry of arterial plaque, in many instances, it's very high in xanthine oxidase.
Huh.
So when you homogenize, you create a substance that's going to create atherosclerotic plaque really at an accelerated rate, not to mention that, you're just plugging up the body because of that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What's cottage cheese? Do you know?
Yeah, that's just the casein portion of the cheese that's been... So in other words, they've inoculated the milk with a specific organism, and I don't know which it is,
mm-hmm.
and it makes it into cottage cheese, and the whey gets separated out. And so anytime the natural bacteria in raw milk, like you said, if you let it set out, it's going to grow, and they're going to start to separate the cheese from the whey, and you end up doing it that way. Or you can inoculate your milk with specific organisms to achieve a different flavor or a different consistency of cheese, whether that's farmer's cheese, cottage cheese, Gouda cheese, whatever. It's all dependent upon the organism. And the thing is that when you do cheese with raw milk, sometimes you can't, because you can't create, the organisms already in the milk will grow and overcome and overwhelm the inoculant you gave it. So like with mozzarella cheese, you can't make it from raw milk because you can't get the organism to grow. The organisms in the milk will outcompete the mozzarella organism. So you have to pasteurize it or kill the organism somehow to create mozzarella cheese.
What's the difference between goat's milk and cow's milk as far as people being able to take it?
Well, cow's milk is consisting of a protein called casein. Well, they're all milks, but it's a much larger protein.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a spherical protein that's very large. And for people who are maybe a certain blood type, because like AB blood types seem to do really well with dairy, but O blood types seem to not. That's just something I've observed consistently.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they lack the capacity or the enzymes to the O's lack the enzymes capacity to digest the casein. So the casein contributes to constipation, mucus, you know, all those problems.
Right.
And the people with AB blood types seem to be okay because they have the enzyme capacity to digest more grains and veggies and dairy. So that's a blood type thing that I've seen that you have to be careful with. But well, for people that want the benefits of dairy but can't tolerate cow's milk, then you jump over to goat's milk, and goat's milk consists of proteins that are already the size of human mother's milk, so we're already able to digest it no matter your blood type. Plus, the fat in goat's milk is already homogenized. It's already naturally dispersed within the milk, and it's just a real easy to assimilate milk compared to cow's milk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'll be done.